We're talking now with Jennifer Houston. Jennifer, of course, is our president for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association for 2019. Jennifer, since you left New Orleans, I know it's already been a busy time for the last first 60 days or so of your presidency. Several things are going on right now. I know that WOTUS is on the minds of cattle producers and a lot more as well, but it's time right now to get those comments in, isn't it?
Absolutely. We need to really stand up for what this new rule on WOTUS can do for our operations, how clear, much clearer that it will be on what is a navigable water and what is not a waters of the U.S. And I know sometimes we don't take the time to do that. We've made it really easy. If you go to the NCBA website, it really guides you through the process. It doesn't take a long time, and I'm as bad as anybody for putting off things, but this is very important to our operations for the foreseeable future and maybe, you know, to our children's futures.
Right. Something I know that you've had a lot of interest in with your operation there in Tennessee is the animal ID, the disease traceback protocol, however you want to describe it. But this is something that has gotten pushed kind of to the front of the line, it seems like, by NCBA and some other groups as well.
Well, we certainly have affiliates that really want this to be top of mind. Our membership is not united on this. We got everybody that thinks from we should have done it years ago to know what we have is fine and everybody in between. But we do think it's important both when we talk about trade and also with value-added programs here in the U.S. So we are participating in a cattle industry working group up till now that's been working on. We've been talking with the USDA on this subject many times. In addition, you know, we've got pilot projects that our different affiliates are working with, both Kansas, Texas, and then sort of fill in. I've sent cattle to one of the pilot projects from our market, Florida, Kentucky. So really seeing in real time what is working, what we need, because there's a lot of options out there for a traceability system, and we really have to see what works for most of our producers.
I know that operators like your auction market and others have always talked about that speed of commerce.
Yes, that's important. We do, for example, in our market, we tag all of our Holstein steers because they're required under the current ADT program. We made the decision a couple of years ago that we had to tag everything because pretty much an animal is either coming in from out of state or will be going out of state at our market. So and it can slow down. The tagging at the market is the problem. If you get it tagged at home or prior to marketing, it's a pretty seamless process with the right software. But the speed of commerce thing to me is when they have to be tagged at the market. And we're dealing with it, but if we have a big run, it certainly slows things down.
And I guess what you mentioned the idea of value added. In other words, trying to actually obtain some value for that ability to trace that piece of meat at the grocery store, at the retail level, all the way back to the ranch.
Yeah, we see, you know, more and more our packing friends are getting pressure from their customers on down to the retail and level to want to know where our beef comes from. And we see this with consumers if you just read the consumer media. And so, therefore, we have to figure out how, you know, we've got to satisfy our consumers. What does that mean? What does that take? It could look a lot of different ways. And we see Tyson with their Progressive Beef. We see JBS and National with some other things. Using beef quality assurance is one way to do it. And I think that tagging cattle really works right in with those programs so that they can identify what is and what's not in the programs.
The industry is, of course, watching real closely all the trade issues, hoping that we get some resolution with China, hoping we get the USMCA ratified, and, of course, we need something with Japan as well.
Absolutely. All those are important things. Trade is our, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on policy priority in D.C. The USMCA is certainly important. Canada and Mexico are two of our largest trading partners. We think that's so important that we keep that same access for beef to those partners. Japan, come April 1, our competitors will get another bump down, the ones that are in the comprehensive free trade association that we're not a part of anymore, so we'll be at even worse tariff disadvantage. Our number one customer is Japan, but there'll be some point that that tariff divide is so large that it won't overcome the demand. China, obviously, we're really encouraged that the administration is at the table, and they're looking not only at the tariffs, but at the non-tariff trade barriers that keep us, even when we were had access to China, we didn't have full access, no hormones, no production technologies that we use here in the U.S. So all those are important, as well as looking at a new look at the EU, as well as the United Kingdom as the Brexit works out. A little bit longer term on those two for sure.
As you get around, you've already, I know, had a chance to interact with quite a few cattle producers since New Orleans. What are you hearing? What's the mood?
By and large, it's pretty upbeat. This year, the number one topic, of course, was weather. No matter, it seems like, where you were, there were some weather events, whether it was in the southeast just because it was rainy and muddy all, then obviously the flooding in Nebraska. It's been weather and what that does to cattle prices. But nevertheless, fairly upbeat, really excited about trade. I think people are really getting that and understanding what that means. Even to a feeder calf producer. And so, obviously, Waters of the U.S., hours of service to all of the edges of the country is important, and we continue to work on that through the regulatory process in D.C.
One last question. I know that we're starting to hear some things from some of these presidential contenders, and one of them just coming out, Senator Warren, talking about wanting to roll back and get COOL reestablished and wanting to make the checkoff program totally voluntary. She's got some ideas that could really challenge the way we do business.
Absolutely. We're going to stand firm. Our checkoff program is still, returning almost $12 for every dollar invested. It's sometimes it's hard to prove something, but I have no doubt in my mind, watching it through the years, that we would be in a much worse off state than we are now. For example, if we didn't have foundational research on sustainability, we wouldn't be able to fight off the Green New Deal and some of the crazy things that are coming out of D.C. MCOOL was a marketing program that didn't work. It cost industry a lot of money. It has, we're all for voluntary labeling. But the mandatory part and the way that program worked did not work. It did not work for the industry as a whole. But we certainly encourage, and we see more and more, I do, in the grocery stores, voluntary labeling, especially as we come out of these value-added programs.
Right. Okay. Great.
All right.